Well, we probably ought to say something. What do you think about yourselves today? Are you what God's Word says you are? Well, let's do it, okay? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Let's do it in Spanish. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. All right. You guys are absolutely great. You are so great that I don't want you to ever think of yourself as other men or women. You are not like other people. My wife and I talked about this recently, and I've actually talked with several people about this because of the importance of it. I don't want you ever to lose sight of who you are as God's special family, as God's child. You must never lose sight of that. The world will forever attempt to get you to forsake your calling, who you are in Christ, your great abilities in Christ, all the wonderful works that were done for you by Christ, and all the things in store for you in eternity because of what Christ did. The world will forever attempt to get you to forsake who you are. And who you are is at opposites of other men. You are not like other men. I'd like you to turn to Judges. We haven't talked about this guy for a while. Last night, Dave and I were talking about him, David Ray. And I've been thinking about the aspect of soul abuse and how wrong it is. And last night when Dave and I were talking, we reflected on this example, and I thought, you know, that'd be a good one to share today, because I want you to know a very real fact that people, good natured normal human beings, will not abuse each other. They won't hurt each other. They just won't do things to hurt each other. Man was not made to hurt man. So if and when man is hurting other men, then you know something's wrong. Things are not going according to plan. Satan is involved, always and forever. And so, if and when you end up in an abusive situation, whether you are the abusee or the abuser, you must recognize that it's not normal, it's not according to God's plan, and Satan's involved somehow. It could be ever so remotely. It could be directly. But it should not be. So somewhere along the line in your Christian walk, you have to embrace this truth that abuse is not for mankind, and that where it is and when it is, if it ever rears its ugly head, Satan's involved. That's the fact. That's the truth. Well, we'll see this happen in Judges regarding Samson. And in chapter 16 of Judges, Samson went to Gaza, verse 1, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. Now, I find their lifestyle rather interesting back then. This is when Israel was under the Philistines. The Philistines ruled them, and it was really miserable. But they'd worked themselves into that wonderful situation, and they had to put up with it. So Samson, known as the strongest man in the world ever, would go to some of these women, Philistine women. The Philistines were always trying to kill him because he was always killing them. You know, he'd go pick up the jawbone of an ass and kill 3,000 of them and not even think another thought about it, you know. He was an amazing guy. He would never quit resisting them. And that's because the Spirit of God was upon him. And God had given him special strength. Special strength. Way beyond what you have. Way beyond what you can even imagine. And he used this strength on a continual basis to thwart the enemy. And there are parallels with Samson and Jesus Christ. Because whereas Samson took down the whole central part of the Philistines, Jesus Christ did too. By their stands, they made Satan crumble. And so if you go through Samson, you'll see these parallels. All you have to do is kind of think about it. It's kind of neat. Well, when he went into this harlot, it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. They hated Samson. They wanted to kill him. So these guys stayed up all night in the gates of the city. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Just on the surface, it doesn't look like a big deal. But it is a big deal. Because the approximate weight of those wooden gates with metal surroundings to help prevent them burning in case of attack by fire, and the post and the bar that held them from inside from being opened, weighed about 4,000 pounds. Well, that would be like my Volvo out there. That's like an average car. That would be 2 tons of weight. So he lifted these up, and it's not like he crawled a few feet away and put him down. This distance is approximately 20 miles. And he walked with these things on his shoulders, and it's very rugged terrain. The Philistines never got those things back. They couldn't carry them. They couldn't navigate through that wilderness. It was really rough. And he put them about 20 miles away to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Well, I thought that was amazing. Now, if you think about what Jesus Christ did, he opened up some doors too, so that we could continually foil the efforts of Satan. This city now was no longer protected. Very interesting. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. I'm not sure if you know what Delilah means, but the Hebrew word means languishing. If you languish in your troubles, it just means like you're sitting there and stewing in them. This causes languish. It's always a negative thing. So he fell in love with Delilah, and the lords of the Philistine came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Well, this is quite interesting. First of all, Samson fell in love with this woman. Hey, there's nothing wrong with falling in love. But he actually ignored some important things in doing this and caused his demise because of that. She, in turn, did not love him, which is a sad situation. And if you think about it, many times that happens where a guy falls for a girl, but she doesn't fall for him. She might lead him on, though. That's bad. He seemed to be well aware of this situation now, as we read it, where she went into contract with these guys and agreed to turn them over somehow. So she starts in verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. Why are you so strong? Tell me. How can you go carry 2 tons 20 miles? And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee?" Honestly, if I ran into a guy that could carry 2 tons on his shoulders, I think that God might be involved. Especially given all the other things that Samson was doing. Just for a second, I think that God might be involved, okay? These guys, man, they must have had rocks for brains. And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Folks, I never want you to consider yourself as another man or another woman. You are not like other people. Samson was so used to having God on his side and the strength that God gave him that he really lived without fear. I mean, we can't relate to that, but he could. And so he just played with her. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me." Man, what a crazy relationship. He's in love with her. She's tormenting him, trying to find out where his strength lies. She brings those guys in. They attack him. He probably killed him. It didn't say, but he certainly did something. And then she said, "You're mocking me and telling me lies. You're not letting me kill you." Oh my gosh. I don't know, man. I guess love can make you blind. But there's things going on here that maybe God has his hand in that we don't know. "Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." Come on, you idiot. Tell me where your strength lies so I can have you killed. And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Folks, I never want you to think of yourself as another man. You are not like other people. Samson wasn't like other people. He was a Nazarite. Just like Jesus was. Another interesting parallel. They never cut Jesus' hair, though. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the weave of the web. And the translations pretty much all say, he was telling her, if you take my hair and weave it into the cloth that you are weaving, she must have had a weaver's loom and all that there, then, you know, it'd take my strength. And so she fastened it with the pin, which was the thing that she ran through the weaving, after she took all of his locks and weaved them in there, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he wakened out of his sleep. You know, I was thinking, I wonder if he took sleeping pills. Wow. That's amazing to me. This guy had such freedom from fear that he slept so deeply that even this kind of thing didn't wake him. That's amazing to me. I think that fear has a lot to do with why people can't sleep. And if you fall into that, then maybe you should consider deliverance from fear. And, of course, Holy Spirit in operation is the number one deliverer. We teach that in the class. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and the web. The whole loom, man, he just walked off with it. And she said unto him, and this must have been a little bit later, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. All I'm trying to do, Samson, is kill ya. And you're mocking me. And hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Men, you have to be careful that you're not really stupid. Okay? You can turn really stupid with women. And it's because of love. There's a point where you have to draw the line. If you don't learn to draw the line, you can actually do stupid things under the guise of love. Well, you can if you want to. But God doesn't want you to. God wants you to be a man and to fulfill your role and live according to the responsibilities of manhood. So at some point, if you're in a situation where a woman is trying to foil you, you've got to recognize it. You just can't be stupid. But it's available to be like that. But you don't want to be like that. It's okay to draw the line. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. You just say no. Whatever the situation is. In Samson's case, he must have had something in his head that told him, well, you'll never lose your strength. But he knew he could at the same time, but he never feared that thing happening. And so there's a lot here for you to think about, men. It's so important that you don't allow yourself to be so blinded. And this is an act that takes place within the soul. It allows you to become so blinded that you give up. That you throw in the towel. That you're like the wheat that's been harvested, chopped down, taken in for consumption. It's something that happens in the soul. Now, women, you know all too well, especially those of you who have had men in your life, how easy it is for you to manipulate men. Maybe that's a strong word. Maybe not. But women, you know your abilities and the powers that you have over men. That's just the way it is. It's not anything I made. So you should be careful too, as Christian men or Christian women, because God does not want you to be like other women who actually go and do this to men. So men, God doesn't want you to be like other men. In other words, weak, non-spiritual, no real strength. And women, God doesn't want you to be like other women, manipulative, languishing, and set out to abuse a man. Now, I find this whole subject of abuse fascinating, because as people, we're always trying to show others that there's nothing wrong with our lives. Nothing. Now, with Samson, it looked like everything was cool. I mean, he was in there with the epitome of abuse. He just kept coming back for more. And he was going to be the last one to say, I got problems. Yet, look what he was doing. And she entered into contract with the devil, paid off with all that silver, well, the potential, and she was a murderer. And so here we have a man of God, the strongest man that ever lived, that had full control of his life, and he goes and he's sharing a bed with the devil. Now, personally, I find that touchy. I would not want to be in that situation. I see that Samson could have drawn the line. He could have made other choices. I see that Delilah could have drawn the line and made other choices as well. She didn't have to do that contract, but her life was so far gone by then, who knows? And Samson, I don't know what brought him to that point, except the things that are listed in the Bible. Well, she was pretty upset by this time. And verse 16 says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. I told you that this was a matter of the soul. We get too caught up with the flesh. You know, you go marry somebody and, you know, what's in front of you all the time but the other person's body. You don't see their soul. But what you fell in love with was their soul. Because we're soul creatures. That's our life. You fell in love with their soul, not their body. Hey, maybe their body looked good. Maybe it didn't. Who knows? It doesn't matter. You fall in love with their soul. And then you nurture that person's soul. You love that person's soul. You take care of that person's soul. You feed that person's soul. You comfort that person's soul. Oh, when the person's body gets aches, you give them a pill. But you're always ministering to the soul. You don't marry a body. You marry a soul. With your best friend. You love your best friend. Your best friend looks great. Your best friend acts cool, whatever. But I'm telling you, that body's going to change. You're in love with the soul. You nurture that best friend's soul. You care for that best friend's soul. You're concerned about that best friend's soul. The last thing you'd ever want to do is abuse that person's soul. Same with the marriage. Why would you want to abuse your spouse's soul? This woman vexed his soul unto death. Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. physically, mentally, and spiritually. All of it. He was stronger than Jesus and John the Baptist. Jesus didn't go carrying around 2 tons on his shoulders. Now, Jesus was a strong man spiritually, right? No question. But Samson was given that strength by God spiritually, so he was strong spiritually. But it manifested itself in the physical realm. So here we have a man that was just the epitome of might. And yet his soul was vexed unto death. Go figure. You say, you look at yourself, I'm strong. I'm strong. You know, I get through every day. I say my daily prayers. I eat my health food. And somebody comes along and looks at you wrong and you're crying. Or something doesn't go your way and you're fearful. But it's so easy to crumble a soul today, because our society abuses souls all day long. There's so much abuse that we're taught that abusive situations are normal and that there's no such thing as a non-abusive situation. Well, I'd say that there's some insanity running rapid in humanity today. And here we sit. We want to be God's best. We want to live as God's family, cherishing the abundance that he provided through Christ. And we often seldom reflect on it because of the abusive nature of our daily life. In other words, it's tough out there. There's nothing easy about it. You guys go through it at school. In fact, you even get in on it. You guys go through it at work. In fact, when you've had enough, you get in on it. You go through it in your relationships. In fact, you even relish it sometimes. And you don't want to, but doggone it, all of a sudden you find that you're locking arms with Satan and abusing somebody's soul somewhere. Oh my gosh. It's just crazy, isn't it? This man's soul was vexed unto death. He could have drawn the line. She could have drawn the line. Well, they didn't, did they? No. Well, that's free will. Jesus Christ drew the line. Thank God. Though, where it says when she pressed him daily, it means that it's like to lie sore. She just beat him up with her words and absolutely made him sore. That's what that pressing means. And it was with words. It was with words. It wasn't with her fist. Nobody was going to lay a hand on Samson. It was with her words. Women, you can take a man down. Men, don't you think you're pretty strong? Huh? Don't you think you're pretty tough? Anybody want to look as tough as Chris? Women, any of y'all as tough as he is? No, I don't think so. And what about Michelle? Anybody as dainty as Michelle is? She's not a man. She doesn't even look like a man, thank God. She's just a dainty little old thing. Men and women, you're different. Yet the words of that woman could take the words of that man down. You guys know it too, don't you? Yeah, we all know this. So she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed. And this word vexed means harvested, cut down. Grieved, loathed, in mourning, straitened, or troubled. His soul was cut down, harvested unto death. And death is to be slain by somebody like a necromancer, a devil spirit that actually causes people to love death. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Do you want to be like every other man out there? Or do you want to be a Christian man, a Christian woman? What do you want? You have to decide. I don't ever want to lose sight of who I am in Christ. The world's too powerful. It's always working on us. I don't want to fall prey to it, so I'm not going to. Okay? I'm glad I've been able to stand this long in my life for God. People come and people go, but you know something? Lynn and I are still here. And a bunch of y'all are too. You guys have all made the decision to stand. But you don't have to. You can let the world vex you. You can let a person vex you. You can choose vexation. And some of you have done that. Some of you vex people. You know that. But it's all choice. You have your right to life. You can choose anything you want. Please do. And enjoy whatever it is. I hope you can. But I don't want you to be like any other man. Do me that favor. Act like a Christian. Talk like a superabundant Christian. Feel like a Christian. Give like a Christian. Stand boldly like a Christian. Manifest power like Christ. Don't be like any other man. Be that one that can carry the 2 tons on your shoulders when nobody else could even conceive it. That's the way you are. Don't be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, and there's the clincher. Women, if you've broken a man down by vexing him unto death, his heart opens up. It's a floodgate. And then he's acting like a woman. I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with acting like a woman unless you're a man. And women, you should never want your men to be women. Women, you should never work toward getting your man to be a woman. Never. You want a man. And you never want that to change. So you be careful with your vexations. And men, you never want your woman to be a man. Let her be a woman. The more delicate vessel, it says in Peter. There's a lot of value in that. And God made it so that when a real man and a real woman marry, it's wonderful. But as soon as one or the other try to contaminate that, you've got chaos. A woman is never designed to be a man, to do the manly things. Sometimes she has to out of necessity, and then she can do it. There's plenty that do. And a man was never designed to be a woman, but there's plenty that act like it. When you have those anomalies in a relationship, you've got chaos. So she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once. Oh, by the way, this is the third time. For he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. For some reason, they were really convinced this time. And it was the lords of the Philistines. It wasn't just the guys in the chamber, okay? It was the lords of the Philistines. These were the rulers of the Philistines, you know, the management, so to speak. The government, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. Now, I don't know if you can imagine what those seven locks look like, but if you ever seen anybody with dreadlocks, yeah, it's just this hair that just goes down forever. And that's an interesting study, but anyway, you see somebody coming at you with that kind of hair, you're going to think twice about saying anything. You even do that today. You go down to Jamaica for a little vacation. You go down the wrong street and see a guy with dreadlocks. You're going to turn the other way. I guarantee you. I'm not comparing him against that, but anyway, it's interesting things to think about. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. I want my money." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself," which is kind of like a horse shakes his mane. Yeah, that's what he would do. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Such a sad fact. Made him grind grain. Poked out his eyes. That's just humiliating. That's what the devil does, though. The devil will do anything to humiliate and degrade another man. If you feel humiliated in your life, if you feel degraded, then you know Satan's at work. You know your soul's being afflicted. It's time to stop it. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And I love that. You can enter into a situation where your life just falls apart, but you can always recover. You never have to fear a lack of recovery. It will happen if you do what's right. In Samson's situation, he was bound and they had him marked for death. It's not like you. If you ever enter a situation where your soul's getting vexed, God guarantees a way to escape. Always. He will always give you a way to escape if the temptation is too great to bear. But you have to take that escape. You can't just sit there in the problem. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, which, by the way, is sexual stuff. And they set him between the pillars. Now, the pillars that they're talking about is they had a wooden temple thing built, and the people would all be on the roof of it. And it was built in a graduated style to where it, as it went further out, it went up so everybody could see into the center area. And they could all see Samson. And they put him between the two pillars. And the way this thing was built was there were two primary pillars in this construction with the beams going across. And those two pillars supported the whole structure. And so they put him between there and everybody could see him. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me, allow me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." They were close enough together to where he could put his hand on either one of them, his hands on either one of them at the same time. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. That was just on the roof. They also had everybody down below, and there were a lot more than 3,000 down there, I would imagine, because they could go out further. That beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson was endeavoring to avenge God's people. Sure, he set his two eyes, but the results of what he was about to do were more far-reaching than avenging for eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." You can look at this and say, well, he committed suicide, but he really didn't. He was in battle and he was avenging. There's a big difference there. He didn't go commit suicide and turn into some sinner, as so many people say. And God gave him the strength. You got to put that into the picture. He got his strength back. So you can't say that this was wrong. God wanted this to happen. Now, he didn't want to lose Samson, but Samson was as good as gone anyway. Jesus Christ had to die. God didn't want Jesus Christ to die, but that was the only way for us to have salvation. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zora and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So you have the right and the choice to be or not be like other men. If you choose to live your life according to God's plan, you'll never have to get into a situation like Samson did. I recommend that you do not vex people's souls. And I also recommend that if you notice your soul being vexed, that you do something hard and fast to stop it. Because your life is supposed to be the epitome of a Christian. Now, sure, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but they're not supposed to take you down. The Bible says we're all going to go through them. It says we're all going to have that kind of stuff, like our brethren in the world. But it says that God will always give us a way to escape. But you got to take that way. God does not want you to be like other men. I don't want you to be like other men, and I pray you don't want you to be like other men. There's just no call for it. There's no situation bad enough that you have to decide, I'm just going to be like the next guy. You're never going to be like that as a Christian. You've got God in Christ in you. You're a super Christian conqueror. You are a peculiar people, a super abundant people according to the word. You're a super Christian conqueror in every meaning of those words. And nothing can ever undo that. Not your feelings, not your environment, not your social standing, not your financial status, not your marital status. Nothing can ever undo who you are. So at some point in time, you have to come to grips with that, I would think, if you want to live that victorious life in Christ, that triumphant life in Christ, and say, I'm not going to be like other men. No one's going to vex my soul unto death. No person, no spirit, no anything. I will take a stand at that point in time when I recognize it, and I will cause the tides of history to reverse just so that I can stand for my God. Samson did. He prayed, and God heard his prayer and answered his prayer. And yes, he died, but so did more people than he had killed in his whole lifetime. You just couldn't imagine the number that one man did. Jesus Christ took the stand, and he destroyed the works of the devil. Ended it to where you and I can sit here today and be free. And so, do we want to get caught up in abuse? Do we want to abuse people? Do we want to be abused? Well, I should say not. Human beings weren't designed to do that. Not after what Samson went through, showing what Jesus Christ was going to do. Not after what Jesus Christ went through, showing what we could do. And not after what you've already gone through in your whole spiritual life. Do you want to throw it away? Or do you want to build upon it? Jesus taught about building a house upon the rock. You're supposed to be building every day. So let's build every day. No matter if you're getting temptations or trials in life, it's okay. Just keep building. You might have to hold the spear in one hand like Nehemiah. That's okay. Be ready to use it. But don't give in. And don't let yourself get too vexed. And if you need help, get it. Okay? That's our life. So Samson has a lot to teach us. Jesus Christ has a lot to teach us. And you've got a lot to teach others. So let's do it together, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. Thank you.